First scripture today is from the book of Timothy 2, chapter 4, verses 6 through 8 and 16 through 18. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for this heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
This morning's Old Testament scripture is from the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 23 through 32. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the later rain as before. The threshing floors shall be full of grain. The vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, the cutter, and my great army that I sent against you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other, and my people shall never again be put to shame. Then afterward I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves in those days I will pour out my spirit. I will show portents in the heavens and on earth, and blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. God bless and lend understanding to the reading of his word. Plan 9 from outer space. Just kidding. When the first Christians began receiving the Holy Spirit, they immediately thought of this passage that I just read. Just instantly in their minds. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And I know today is not Pentecost Sunday, and we in the church don't talk much about Pentecost, but it was a huge day that kicked off the early church. I don't think I'm speculating in saying we would not be here. Christian churches would not exist if Pentecost had never happened. And so we should return to that day as often as we can. On Pentecost Day, thousands of people received the Holy Spirit at once. And Pentecost, the day itself, was part of the Festival of Weeks, which is prescribed for the people of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy. The Festival of Weeks was supposed to take place 7 weeks, after Passover was completed. And over the centuries, the Festival of Weeks evolved to become kind of like homecoming. That is something that's happening right around now. High schools are having homecoming. Colleges are having homecoming this time of year. And at homecoming, you go back to your home school, right? Well, that's what the people of Israel would do on Pentecost, is go back to Jerusalem. No matter where they were scattered in the world, they'd come back and worship there as part of the Festival of Weeks. And Pentecost Day, It came from the Greek word penta, which means five. So, you know, when we talk about a pentagonal shape, that's a five-sided shape. We talk about the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., that's a five-sided building, if you look at it from the air. And so Pentecost refers to the 50th day after the end of Passover. And when the Spirit came upon the people that day, people who could no longer talk to each other because they lived in different countries and spoke different languages, they were all able to speak the language that enabled them to understand each other. And I'm going to say something that's a speculation. I can't prove it. So you can dismiss this if you want. I think that Paul was there as Saul of Tarsus. That was his name then. The Bible doesn't tell us he was there. But being a good follower of his religion, which was the Jewish faith, the faith of the people of Israel, Saul of Tarsus would have felt honor-bound to return to Jerusalem for that festival. Again, after he was converted, he changed his name to Paul, and he began writing the epistles, and twice in the epistles he mentions that he needs to go back for Pentecost to the festivals that are going on there, because this is his tradition, this was his life. Now, I'm not saying that he received the Holy Spirit that day, and I'm not saying he even saw what happened when it happened, but it's possible that he was there in Jerusalem on that day. And it's possible that he even did see it and yet was unconvinced. And his heart stayed hardened and he kept right on doing what he was doing and didn't change a thing. The next time, the first time that we meet this character in the Bible, he is standing approvingly as Stephen is martyred, stoned to death. And people are throwing their coats at Saul's feet, in to pay homage to him. Thank you for leading this. And thank you for giving us permission, as it were, to put Stephen to death in front of them. It would only take meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus to transform him from Saul of Tarsus, persecutor of Christians, into Paul, the great evangelist, who wrote the passage that Yvonne read this morning. And that passage finds him very near the end of his ministry and feeling like he is being poured out for the service of God. It is recorded that he did receive the Holy Spirit after meeting Jesus later on, days after. And no one knows exactly the dates, but his career spanned something like 30 years of evangelism. He's the most successful evangelist in the history of the world because really there was nobody before him. And by the time he was done, there were Christians all over the known world. And again, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the ministry of Paul. Not to mention that he composed about half of the books in the New Testament. You know, not a small feat for a guy who once thought the best thing to do was to put Christians to death. That's the difference that the Holy Spirit can make in a believer's soul. Once someone receives the Holy Spirit, things change. And that created Paul's ministry. Paul writes, "I am being poured out as a libation." And that's a word we don't use very often, a libation. In fact, I think we more often use the joke variation of that word than the original meaning of that word. A libation is a drink offering, like you are drinking something consecrated, dedicated to God. Well, you know, when Harry Truman was a soldier serving in World War I in France, he and his war buddies would drink cognac, and they would call that a libation as a joke. And people still say that and use that as a libation. But it's really, that means, when Paul says he's being poured out as a libation, I'm like a drink offering to God. I'm being poured out right now to serve God. And this is no joke. This is serious. He was taking the word seriously. And how it works, at least according to Paul, is that God's Spirit is poured into him, and then he pours it out through him in his service to God. And I'll just show you that in case you need a visual illustration. This Aquafina represents God's Spirit. This is Paul. God's Spirit is being poured into Paul. And then through his life, not that he gets the Spirit one time, you know, those that are really conversant with the Holy Spirit, I mean, a person should be asking for the Holy Spirit every day. And so this fills you and gives you the capacity to serve and to help others. And then it's being poured out as a libation. Until one is completely out. And maybe they're being done filled. And if Paul is near the end of his ministry, then maybe he's done being filled. By the way, in case you think I just like to waste water, this wastebasket needed to be cleaned badly. Paul's goal was to get to Rome. And once he got to Rome, he wanted an audience with the emperor. And it doesn't say in Scripture whether he actually appeared before the emperor. It just says what we know about Paul. I mean, Acts ends like a pop song. You know, those pop songs that just keep going on forever and ever and ever. And it doesn't, you never hear the end. They never hit the final beat. That's how Acts ends. It just keeps going. Paul is still going at the end of Acts. And you know he's headed for Rome. That's all you know. History, legend, you know, perhaps rumors tell us that Paul was martyred in Rome. And we don't know whether he appeared in front of the emperor, but I don't think it's a coincidence that the church decided to set up home base in Rome later on because of the ministry of Paul. When he's writing the book of 2 Timothy, he knows he's going to die, and he's poured out, and he knows he might not be able to do much more. But he's still willing, and he's still ready to go. And if more was poured into him, if there were more things to do, he would do that. But he could see the writing on the wall, and perhaps he would end up dead soon. And sometime in the mid-60s, BC, you know, after Christ, sometime in the mid-60s, he is martyred and gone. Until then, he's being poured out. He's being filled every day with God's Spirit, and he's serving and being poured out. That's how it works. Today, we talk a lot about burnout. Have you read a lot of news about burnout? Have you seen all the things that are being written and said about it? A lot of people talk about it today. I think number one, I think about healthcare providers. Annette is kind of different. I mean, Annette, well, Annette doesn't work in an emergency room. Annette is a nurse, but she doesn't work in a hospital ward. She certainly is busy helping the hospital, and she's part of the team. But Annette has not had to spend hours watching people get sick and die wave after wave after wave, as so many healthcare providers have. And it takes its toll on these people. And so many of them have decided it's time to quit. Healthcare providers are just one part of that. Teachers, students feel burnt out. Fast food workers are burnt out, and they don't want to go back to where they were. The great resignation has come. In fact, I think part of it is because people realize, you know, they could die. They realize now that there's mortality, and maybe we better make sure our lives mean something. And so they're reconsidering what it means to live and work. Is this the job I'm supposed to do? What am I going to do next? And they call this whole phenomenon the Great Resignation. And until one quits, they have a phenomenon now called quiet quitting, where people just kind of weigh their options on their way to something else, perhaps. And the news and the internet are flooded with this idea of us being burnt out as a people, as a society, because of everything we've experienced the last several years. Think about it all, really. How different the world is than just 7 years ago or so. How much harder things seem than they did then. And so here we are, people feeling tired and people feeling burnt out. Paul is not burnt out. Paul is ready to go again if the Lord will have him, but he feels poured out, like he has been used enough that God is going to be done using him soon. He's not out of energy, folks. He's like the pitcher that I showed, just having been emptied. And he's ready to be filled again if the Lord will have him, ready to go again. But he senses that his journey is done, or near done. And at some point, of course, it is done. Sooner or later, he's martyred, as Stephen was, and things kind of come full circle for him. Where are you on your journey today? Are you burnt out or are you poured out? And I'm not going to demonize either phenomenon. I'm not going to say, oh, that if you're burnt out, that there's something wrong with you. But if you are burnt out, I think that you should be working on that. You should be trying to turn that around in your heart and life, because nobody wants to walk around burnt out. Are you poured out? Have you given and given and given, and you're not feeling like anything is filling you up again in return? Well, that I can definitely help you with. That's more my domain. If you are burnt out, I would suggest a counselor, or I was, you know, some kind of a therapist, a doctor even. If you're poured out, then a pastor might tell you, well, take some time. Get close to God. Try to get close to God. Pray. Be alone with God. Quiet. Because God fills us, but it is not with literal water, like I did in front of you this morning. God fills us with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives us the nutrition, gives us what we need to carry on, gives us what we need to be inspired by God and doing what God would want us to do with our lives, gives us clarity, gives us a vision for our lives, as the passage that I read from Joel talked about, you know, that young men will dream dreams and old people will have visions. And people are renewed by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on people. That outpouring 2,000 years ago at Pentecost led to the church that we're sitting in today. And I wonder what, if there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on us, individually in this church, or a revival in our country, or in a revival in the world, I wonder what the church would look like 2,000 years from now. I wonder what kinds of things God would do through us if we just were receptive to God's leadership. If you're feeling poured out today, pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come to you. And not coincidentally, that's why we have the series about the Holy Spirit downstairs, second hour, is I think that people could use a sense of vision and a sense of clarity that comes from knowing God better, being filled with God, Let the Holy Spirit fill you. But I'll tell you, I'm going to warn you, if God fills you, you're expected to pour that out onto a world that needs it badly.